Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are just excited to be back on the air. This is September the 17th, and we have a very special show for you this evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking about rebuilding credit God's way. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you were here and able to listen to Building Credit God's Way. And we hope that you were able to get something out of that. We pray that God was able to speak to you to help you along this journey when it comes to credit, but also in the other areas of your life that are just so critically important. And so as we talk about tonight, what we're doing on tonight's show is building upon that particular episode of Building Credit God's Way. And we're really going to focus on reestablishing yourself with credit. And we really want everybody to get from this show tonight that it goes beyond, way beyond your credit scores. It goes beyond, way beyond the credit reports, although those things are important. So what we want to really let everybody know is we want people to really listen to this show, come with an expectation that God is going to show you something that may be new to you or may be a rebuilding upon some information and some knowledge and wisdom that you already have in this area of dealing with credit and rebuilding. We really want everybody to learn how God has a whole different plan for rebuilding you as an individual, as one of God's creation that goes way beyond, again, the credit scores and the credit reports. The belief that we have here at PRF is this: the Word will ensure that your credit is rebuilt on a solid foundation. And we're talking about trust, we're talking about a solid foundation of forgiveness, and most importantly, we're talking about a solid foundation that's built on relationships. So after this quick little interlude, we are going to come back, we're going to get right into the show, and see what God is really going to have for us to say tonight. Thank you again for tuning in to the PRF table. Again, this is your host, Dr. Dunlap. We're talking about tonight rebuilding credit God's way. So what we wanted to do, we really wanted to just start off and really lay some foundations for us. One of the foundations that I think we really need to look at as we just even go into the initial part of the conversation is where we're talking about rebuilding something, when we're talking about building something, we're talking from the context that you have to have some knowledge, you have to have some wisdom, you have to have some understanding. The reality is you may not have, as an individual, the knowledge, you may not have the wisdom, you may not have the understanding. But God has placed us on this earth, all of us, for us to be living in community with one another. So if I have the particular knowledge of how to help you to rebuild your credit, if God has given me that, there may be somebody else in your life that knows how to take that particular piece of information or those pieces of information, if you're listening, and know from the wisdom of God, because God may be speaking to that other person that's in your life. And they say, you know what, that was some good information that they provided to us, to you on the PRF table, my brother, my sister. But here's what God is saying of how you need to take that information and move forward. And there's a particular scripture in the book of Proverbs. It says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end is death. And I think when we talk about Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, which is what I just read to you, I really want people to take from tonight's conversation that there's going to be a lot of different ways that you're allowed to build your credit. There's going to be a lot of different ways of rebuilding your credit. And if I had some guests on tonight, which I'm not going to do it tonight, but if I had some special guests, they're able to talk to us and to talk to you about how they rebuilt their credit. I believe that some of them would say they didn't rebuild it the right way, particularly some of those individuals that I can kind of think of in my own mind and in my own life, my own atmosphere, if you will, those individuals that made certain decisions, they rebuilt themselves and then it wound up crumbling back down again. So the question is, how were they building? What were they rebuilding on? And if we're not rebuilding, if we're not building, if we're not establishing, if we're not reestablishing on a solid foundation, if that's not what we're doing, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, it's going to lead down a path of destruction. It's going to lead down a path of death. It may not be a physical death, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of individuals that are going through a whole bunch of situations when it comes to their credit. And their credit affects their overall finances. Their credit affects their jobs. So let's get it together is what my plea is tonight. Let's talk about some things that can really encourage and uplift folks because, again, I can tell you and all the rest of the hosts here at the PRF table can really tell you that there is a lot going on in a lot of people's lives. And everybody who you know, everybody who you see, will not let you know what they're going through. And that's a whole nother topic of discussion. So one of the things that I really wanted to do, I really wanted to start off, and I don't know how far we're going to get tonight, y'all, to be honest. But I think that as we're talking about rebuilding something, you're looking and dealing with something that has been torn down, whether it was torn down intentionally, whether it was torn down unintentionally. So there's a lot of people that need encouragement when it comes to credit. There's a lot more people that I wish were listening to the PRF table right now that I know credit is not so well, that I know they're in a position where they need to be rebuilding their credit, but also they need to be rebuilt as individuals. One of the things that I can say is there's a couple thoughts that I just want to throw out there for encouragement purposes. One of them is this. Everything that you do and how you do it going forward is all going to be about your character. If you've been with us for the last couple of months, we're dealing with debt for 2 months, and now we're going into our second month on the subject of credit. I told you before that everything is about your character. So although we are really learning about a financial matter, character is always at the top. It's always at the forefront when it comes to God, and especially if you are a believer. If you happen to be a believer, I'm telling you, it's going to affect your relationship with others. Not only does it just affect your relationship with others, it's going to also affect your witness. So we have family members that know that we're believers, that know we're preachers and pastors and teachers or whatever we do in the church or whatever we do in the kingdom. But if our character is not there, if our character doesn't line up, then it gives them an easy way to be able to say, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to what you're saying about what God is talking about right now. I'm not going to follow this word of God that we have in this holy Bible. The prescriptions that I'm telling you, if you just try this, if you just try God, if you just trust him at his word, they'll work for you. So in the big scheme of things, I go back to Luke chapter 14. And one of the things that Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, in verse 28, he says, do not begin until you count the cost. For who will begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's a person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. And so I think about that. That's the same scripture that we talked about 2 weeks ago when we were dealing with building credit God's way. I bring it back up tonight because it doesn't change. If the foundation of building credit God's way was making sure that you count the cost when it comes to how you enter into credit obligations, then you have to know, my brothers and my sisters, that if you're rebuilding, if you're starting afresh, if you're starting new, that it's going to be the same exact way. The same principles that we talked about that hopefully you learned and took back with you to wherever you're living at on how to build credit, you take those same principles even if you didn't learn them before because they're applicable today. Another thing that I'll say to you is this. Do what is honorably necessary for others to regain trust in you. And as we talk about trust, again, that's part of character. People who need to rebuild their credit because of certain situations, because of not paying a bill for whatever reason, it's not about people just being bad people, quote unquote. Certain things happen in life. Certain people stop paying their bills for whatever reason. Some people don't have the money to pay their bills. And then certain people's credit starts to suffer. Well, when those things happen and you get to a place where now you have to rebuild yourself, you have to go back and try to do the very best that you can to have others to regain their trust in you. Let me give you an example. If a person goes and files for bankruptcy, when I go and look at that person's credit report as a potential creditor, whether it's 2 years down the line, 3 years, 7 years, 5 years, or 6 years, when I go and look at that, that's going to raise a red flag. So the reality of the situation is that individual has to show me why they are trustworthy because their credit report is showing one thing. It only shows what it shows. It doesn't show what happened for that person to get to that particular point. So if we don't know what happened where that person got to that particular point where they had to rebuild their credit and we never engage them in conversation, we never give them an opportunity, then how can we allow them to regain their trust in us? Sometimes the regaining of the trust is not with the same people that helped contribute to their particular situation. A person may have filed for bankruptcy, maybe going through a repayment plan. They're not dealing with those creditors anymore. So there may be nothing that they need to do to regain their trust because they may not go back to those same individuals later on down the line. But as a new creditor, as you coming into my life now saying, Mr. Dunlap, I'd like to borrow $5,000 for this used car, then I need to get some answers from you. And so I have to be able to say, show me what you've done in the meantime. Go back to the scripture. Go back to Luke 14. Jesus says it's about building and counting the cost beforehand. So when you count the cost, you say, you know what? If you know that your credit score is really, really, really bad, you should count the cost before you go and apply for new credit. But if it's been a while, if there's nothing that you can do, you can't always wait 7 years before you go and apply for a loan. So you need to count the cost in advance and be able to say, okay, if I get asked about this, this is what I can say that I've done since that time happened. Trust me, I've talked to a lot of people over the last 15 years dealing with credit specifically and a lot of negative credit situations. And you'll be surprised the different reasons why so many people have bad credit. And I'm talking about people way up in the government, people high up in education, people down on the middle class level, people that are experiencing deep levels of poverty, the whole gamut, the whole spectrum. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You got people that make a whole bunch of money and their credit is still jacked up. Let me throw a third thing at you. So the first thing, everything going forward is about your character when we're talking about rebuilding credit. God's way, keeping that in mind. The second thing is do what's honorably necessary to make sure that you're regaining trust of people, that they're learning to trust you again because something has been torn down. And I, as an individual engaging you right now, may not have any idea of why you were in that situation. The third thing I'm going to say is this. Your faith must be in God first and then in mankind. Your faith must be in God first and then in man. Your faith must be in God first, then in your brother. Your faith must be in God, then your sister. Your faith must be in God, then your pastor. Your faith must be in God, then your children. If you have that mindset as you try to rebuild credit, and I'm talking about doing it God's way, you're really going to find that it's going to spill over as a spiritual discipline into other areas of your life. Everything that we talk about here on the PRF table, everything that we deal with when we're, from the PRF teaching ministry perspective, is God first. It's not about learning whatever new ways that we can go ahead and get ourselves out of some of the fixes that we may have put ourselves into or wind up being into. No, we have to first and foremost make sure that we are trusting God in whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's credit, whether it's stewardship, whether it's for the wills, whether it's tithing, whether it's giving, not just what some man or woman tells us, this is just exactly how you need to do it. It may be safe to say that there's a whole bunch of believers out here that have credit challenges. And those individuals may be having those challenges or may have those challenges for the reason of not utilizing God's way of rebuilding themselves with their credit. And then what happens is that leads to situations of people now focusing on mankind first versus God. So if I borrow money from the payday, let me try to make it plain. If I borrow money from the payday loan place, and I'm going to get charged 300% interest. Well, if you've been with us for a little while, you already know that is not of God. It is not of God because it is very, very difficult for individuals to pay that still prosper. It's not of God because God already has set some limits about what it is and how we're not supposed to be dealing with an exorbitant amount of interest. But the reality is, you can't be the lender, and you can't be the lender if you don't have anything to lend. So if the people who have the money to lend, they can do it by way of a payday loan, for an example, and charge you 300% interest or 80% interest or 150% interest, what else do you expect to come out of that? It doesn't always end pretty. Most of the time, it ends pretty bad. That's why there's been a lot of people on Capitol Hill and state government said, look, we got to put a cap on this thing so people are not continue to be left in bondage. I can tell you that they're not doing it because of what the Word of God says. That's another story for another day. So for us, we have to make sure that when we go and say, look, I need some help, why not do like the widow did in 2 Kings chapter 4? Why not go to a man or woman of God and say, hey, here's my problem. And listen for God to be able to say, here's what you need to do. Have you considered this? Because the reality is, a lot of times people go to individuals who are their friends. They go to the individuals that's going to say, okay, I'll give you this money, I'll loan you this money to get you out of this jam, but won't say, look, you in this jam because you're doing stupid stuff with your money. Can I be real? We have to do things a different way if we want to get different results. It shouldn't be acceptable that a whole bunch of people operating in the kingdom, from pastor, bishop, apostle, whatever you want to call yourself, all the way down to the usher, from the front of the church, as they say, and some to the back. Believers shouldn't be out here with jacked up credit like this. And believers, and this is what I believe, believers also shouldn't be in a position where they can't rebuild because the resources are not there to be able to help them. Can I give us another nugget? I believe it was Habakkuk that said, write the vision and make it plain. So I'll tell you, maybe as a fourth point, I don't know, but there is no rebuilding without encouragement. There is no rebuilding without a vision that you can rebuild. Now, here's the thing with that. If I don't know you're trying to rebuild, I can't help you in that rebuilding process. So you're going to have to be willing to open up to somebody. And I'm not talking about, because remember what I said a minute ago, faith in God, then mankind. So before you go running to mama, daddy, auntie, uncle, loan shark, pet, God, show me where I need to go. Lord, tell me who I need to deal with, because I need some help, because nobody can rebuild by themselves. God told the prophet, write the vision and make it plain. Let me go back to what Jesus said. Don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost? Now, let's be intelligent believers. Jesus, in this particular passage of scripture in Luke chapter 14, he did not have to tell you or I every single thing that we need to do to build a building, to start and build and construction or rebuild. That wasn't the whole purpose. So when you read that scripture and say, oh, count the cost, there's more things than just counting the cost. You're going to have to get some folks that's going to be able to help you. If you go on to our Facebook page, PRF Teaching Ministry on Facebook, and you'll see an image. And in this particular image, there is an edifice in the back. There is some yellow tape in the front. And in between that yellow tape and that edifice that's in the back that looked like it was a rebuilding, there was a whole bunch of debris and everything else. And I was riding through the state of Georgia one day, and I had to pull over and take a picture. And that's what you'll see on our Facebook page. And the thing about that was, you know, I'm seeing all this debris. I see the crane or whatever the heavy machinery was. And then I see the building. I said, you know what? They rebuilt that building. They didn't. That debris and everything out there, that was not what was there from the beginning. It didn't look like that from the beginning. So it looked a certain way. They had to tear it down in order to put this better edifice in. I promise you, just go look on the Facebook page and it'll really make sense. But to put this nice edifice that you see in the background, and then to the left of it, you also see that they're still building something else. So there's something to the left that's being rebuilt as well. When I look at that picture, that helps me to understand that's just how it is in our lives sometimes. It's messy. You got a whole bunch of stuff that can hurt. That's all out in the front. But then there's a boundary. There's a yellow tape. Why not say, you know what, this boundary is the word of God? Because if you had to be tore down, if your credit got so jacked up that now you're in a place where you have to rebuild, why not set a boundary so nobody else has to go through that same thing like you're going through in your life? Why not say, you know what, let me find out, let me set another boundary. Let me put the word of God in this thing so that I can get some covering, I can get some shielding, some protection. I don't think it is the hardest thing in the world, people. I really, really, truly believe if we're willing to apply the various different things that God has said in his written word, if we're willing to apply whatever the Spirit of God is speaking to you or speaking to me or speaking to somebody on behalf so that I can hear it from the person who God wants me to hear it from, if we can do that, I believe a whole bunch of credit scores can go up. I believe a whole bunch of believers won't have to go out there and do payday loans and loan sharks and title pawns, but still go to church on Sunday and give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, but yet are walking down a path of destruction as soon as they live out, walk outside the doors, because they're faced with the same thing that's still right there before they went in. They just got peace for that particular moment. And as long as we're not in relationship with each other, true relationship with each other, where we're not putting our spiritual ears to the wind so that we can hear what God is saying, so we can hear God say, brother such and such, they're going through something right now. And let people know and give them encouragement. Say, okay, look, You never rebuilt your credit before because you never had to do this before. Well, how about this? Tune in to the PRF table on Thursday night. This is what they're talking about for such a time as this. Let me tell you something. My wife and I were at an event, an art event, this past weekend. And they said that you get free admission if you have your business card before a certain time. So we had two things that we had to do that day. One is at 5, the other one was at 6, so 6:30. So we went to the first one, which was the art event at 5. We knew we wasn't going to be able to stay for the whole thing. I dropped my business card in, got the free admission. We paid for my wife, we went in. Well, during this whole evening, this short time that we were there, they had everybody's business cards. And they said, you know what, this needs to be about networking. And so what they did was, they said, if you don't mind, we would like for you to just talk about your business. And, of course, PRF is not a business. It's a ministry. We all know that. But they said, we want everybody just to, you know, say something about it. And so I got up, you know, I was like the last person out of all the people. And I just told them a little bit about PRF, and I sat down. So in the intermission of this event, this brother comes over to me, and I pray that he's listening tonight. But he comes over to me, and he said, you know what, I really need what you're talking about. And I asked him this question. I said, what's one area in your life that you need help in? He said, credit. He said, my credit is so jacked up, or he said, so tore up. And he starts telling me about what's going on. So I listened to this brother. I listened to his pain. I listened to the things that he said, how it used to be. I listened to how this brother said, how he didn't want it to be like that. So he was looking to make a change. So I did what I could do with the Spirit of God, trying to encourage his brother. That's the way that we need to. That's one great way of rebuilding credit, God's way, is through the relationships that we have with our brothers and with our sisters. I had no idea that I would have to say anything at this particular function. I had no idea that anybody was going to come up to me and say anything to me. And then this brother goes and tells me that there are about 500 people at his job. And he said he knows about 200 of them that really need this. So evidently he's in relationship with a whole bunch of people on his job, which is a government position. So we're not talking about somebody that's been working at Burger King or a fast food place, if you will, for the last 10 years of their life. We're talking about people that are full grown. He said, I don't want to live like this for the rest of my life. He said, when I get to be 55 years old or 60 years old, I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Well, the reality is this brother's going to have to start rebuilding his credit right now. But it's not going to come easy. Because just like last week we were supposed to talk about what we're talking about tonight, rebuilding credit God's way. And what happened? The network went down. So everybody who was broadcasting was in the same situation as we were. And there was a whole bunch of people. I mean, we got so many messages. But in the big scheme of things, if God is involved in it, just know that what he wants to happen is still going to come to pass. It's still going to come to pass. I'll throw this last one, and then we're going to take a short intermission. There's not going to be any rebuilding without tools and without the people to participate. I touched on it a minute ago, but no building has ever been erected by one person. If you look into the book of Exodus, that tabernacle built for God with God's instructions on how to build was not built by Moses, the leader. It took all hands on deck, and it took a lot of people to give a lot of things because it required a lot in this building and making this tabernacle the best that it could be. God set a standard. This is exactly what I want. So what about you? In the big scheme of things, if your credit is not so good and you're in this place where you need to rebuild, God wants to do the same exact thing with you. God created you in his image and after their likeness. So since God did that, why would he not want all of us down here to be in a better position so that we're not dealing with some of the same foolishness over and over and over again? Why would he not want for us to rebuild the way that he lays it out for us? Not what Dr. Dunlap is saying. We're given the tools, but when it comes to rebuilding, everybody's house is going to look a little bit different. Everybody's credit looks a little bit different. So you can't do the same rebuilding process. You don't need the same amount of people to rebuild when your credit score is a 400 and somebody else's is a 600. You can't rebuild your credit a certain the same way that somebody who has a job and has a little bit of extra money every month, in contrast to the person who is barely getting by, who doesn't have the extra money to put on the debt to get the debts taken care of and reduced a whole lot faster. I think that you can get away with playing it for a little while. You can do some things by yourself. But at the end of the day, you cannot put a roof on a house by yourself. You can't pour concrete by yourself, depending on how much concrete you're pouring, and think that it's not going to wear you out after a while. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, God will surely reveal that you're doing too much. God will surely reveal that, look, this is not working the way that you're doing it. Come back to me. Ask me how to rebuild your credit. Mary, I hear you. I hear you praying all the time. You're praying to me about rebuilding your credit. You want me to do something. Okay? But every time you pray, you go out and you do it your way. And so then it just messes things up a little bit more. And I know a whole bunch of people that could talk about how they've messed it up a little bit more. So the reality is, if your credit was at an 800 and things happen and now it's down to a 6 and you want to rebuild but you're trying to do it your way, or you're trying to do it the way man says this is how it's supposed to be, or this information just on the internet, and at the same time saying, okay, I got this. And God is saying, no, you don't got this. Because if you had this, then your credit probably wouldn't be like it is right now if you had this. So how about you just go sit down somewhere, get into a place, speak to God, and then take as much time as you need to allow God to speak back to you. Again, go back to Exodus, the book of Exodus, when God spoke to Moses and told him about building the tabernacle. God tells him all of the things, the goat hair, the fine linens, and everything that needs to be constructed with the ark and the table and the outer parts and the inner parts and all of that. Can you imagine if there was, for an example, let's say there was 10 things. Can you imagine if after the fourth thing, Moses said, okay, I got it. I know what you mean now. And then Moses said, okay, can you imagine what that tabernacle would have looked like? The reality is the tabernacle would not have been constructed the way God said he wanted it to be constructed. And the fact that it didn't get constructed the way that God desired for it to be constructed meant that the glory that was supposed to be coming from the rebuilding or from the building of this particular edifice was not going to be there. It's the same thing when we talk about rebuilding. If we listen to God, if we follow what God is saying, if God says, look, this is how I want you to do it. I want you to stop spending an extra $30 every week like you're doing right now. I want you to stop going out. And I want you, at the end of the month, I want you to take that $369.12, that $120, and I want you to put it on this particular credit card. The reality is you have to have expectations that God can talk to you like this. Can you really please understand, it is not by coincidence that when we get into the Word of God and we see how he gives all these detailed instructions, he did the same thing with David, King David, in the book of Chronicles and Kings when it came to building the temple. The same thing with Solomon when Solomon got the designs for the temple from his father David before David died. Do it the way I said it. If God did it in those two instances in the Bible, why can't he do that with your life? If God, not if, since God did it with those two particular instances, and those are showing an example, or those are perfect examples of building structures. Since he did it that way, why won't he do it in your life? Why won't God do it with your credit? My question is, have you checked to see where your faith is? My question is, have you been still? Have you sat down long enough to be able to hear what God is saying of how you need to do it? One scripture may work for you. Another scripture may work for me. The scripture that works for you may be because that's where your level of faith is. The scripture works for me may be because that's where my level of faith is. We are all different, but we're all important and pleasing in the sight of God. My brothers and my sisters, if you're listening, I think we'll allow the phone lines to come open. So if you're listening and you want to join into the conversation, go ahead and press one on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation and tell us what's on your mind. We're going to take a quick intermission, and we will be back in a couple of minutes, all right? I said a couple minutes, but I'm not even going to take that long. Look, I want to just talk about a couple more things before we sign off for tonight. One of the things is this. There has to be some principles that you have. I know what God has given me and given us here on the PRF table to put out to you. And we may talk about this tonight, and we may also again talk about it next week as well, because it's not something that you can just take all in one setting. So let's talk about this thing about rebuilding and what principles have to actually be followed, or what principles can actually be followed. So let me give you this context. If I'm going to tear down the house that I live in and I'm going to rebuild it, then that means I can't live in the same place. I can't be in the same exact place when the house is torn down, when I'm going to rebuild this same particular building. So reality is there's going to have to be some things that you're going to have to move away from if you're going to really be serious about rebuilding your credit. I don't know what those things are. You do. I don't know what those things are. God does. Hopefully the connection between you and between God is tight enough so that you can know exactly what he knows when it comes to what you need to let go inside of your life. If what I need to do to rebuild my credit, from a practical perspective, is to just stop going out 5 days a week for lunch so that I can have extra money to pay on a credit card bill that is charging me so much interest. If that's what I need to do, then I need to do it. But how are you going to get that? Let me give one point. I want to talk about accountability partners. And I know you've heard this word several times here on the PRF table, but again, God's principles of accountability, they just don't go away. So it's not like we have to bring brand new fresh words, brand new thoughts. It's accountability. It would be best to establish a partnership with somebody who truly can help you be accountable for the task at hand. In construction, I wish Brother McWhite was on with us again this week. But in construction, there's a whole bunch of different quality control checks. There's a whole bunch of different inspections that have to happen to make sure that whatever this building is, whatever this edifice is that's being constructed, is being done the right way. There's a whole bunch of people that are involved in that. You have electricians that are there to make sure that wires are being installed properly. You have other individuals in certain governmental offices that are making sure that the deadlines are being met, that the paperwork is being filed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that's to make sure that whatever is supposed to be rebuilt is being rebuilt according to certain qualifications, certain specifications. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just about that, but it's also about making sure that things are being done on time. Because if you're talking about rebuilding, I tore down this house, I have to lay the foundation, put up the sides, eventually I got to put on a roof, eventually I have to put some doors in, eventually I have to, you can't do all that at one time. So you're going to have to allow God's grace to be sufficient. Allow his grace to be sufficient. Don't try to tackle it all at one time. And if you have an accountability partner, then your accountability partner can be like, look, bro, you're doing too much, like Jethro told Moses. So, no, you can't just stop going out every day, take all every little piece of change that you have and put it on debt, as some programs may suggest. Because you can pay off that debt, and then but you don't have anything, you're not doing anything with your savings. So you don't have a savings, but you're taking all every dime of your extra money that's not accounted for. You're putting it on credit, talking about I'm rebuilding my credit. Question becomes like this. What happens now, my brother, my sister, when an emergency comes and you don't have an emergency savings? What is it that you're going to turn to be able to help you out in that situation? Can I tell you the answer? Many people, have turned back to credit. So if you're trying to rebuild credit and you're not doing some other things and you don't have anybody that can say, hold on, this is not what you probably shouldn't be doing it because what about this? I love accountability partners. If you are married, I promise you, and you're talking about rebuilding credit, there's somebody has to be accountable in that situation. There's some people in the relationship, whether it's the husband or whether it's the wife, that are better with finances than the other, that see things, that may be better connected to God or whatever the case may be, that's okay. But somebody has to be identified as the person that can help in that situation. Purpose. What's the purpose of that individual? To help you stay on task? What's the purpose of that individual? To offer suggestions? What's that purpose of that individual? To be able to say, okay, hold on, I see you going down the wrong road. It doesn't look like that's going to be something that's going to be successful because in 3 months, you know that you got your tax that you got to pay for. So, yeah, you're saving up trying to pay off your credit, which you're talking about, I'm rebuilding my credit, but what are you going to do when that $300 ad valorem tax comes for your car in 3 months? In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, Isaiah says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So all I'm saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, is this. It's critical. It's critical that you build the confidence to run this race. You build the confidence, and you do it with somebody that you know can help you train on this rebuilding journey. Because as I said it before, you can't do it by yourself. Those of us who have served in the military know that there's been people who, during a PT test, needed a little bit of a push. And how many of us, how many of you listening that has been in the military has either had to go back and get somebody to encourage them over that last quarter of a mile? That you can see that they were struggling because you know how much time they got left. And you ran back there to get them. So you can tell them, look, come on, come on, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Or what about you being that person that had to happen to? Or what about you being just an individual who watched that and said,
That's teamwork. You can't run it for nobody, but you sure as heck can help them as they're trying to do it. I'm talking about an accountability partner, but at the end of the day, and this is one of my prayers, one of my prayers is this, that you want an accountability partner. Because there's nothing worse than me trying to help you be accountable and you're just refusing it. Everybody's not your assignment. And you're not everybody's assignee. So I may see somebody out there that needs some help. I may see somebody out there that needs somebody to help them be accountable and to stay on task and do the things that they're saying they're going to do to help rebuild themselves when it comes to their credit and their character. But every time I say something, they reject it. Maybe you're not my assignment. Maybe God has somebody else for that person. But then that person comes and you reject them too because you don't want them all in your business because they're asking the tough questions. How many times is God going to keep sending you what you need before he says, okay, I'm going to just take my hand off and let you go ahead and do you? I'm going to let you just go ahead and handle it your way because it's clear that you're trying to handle it your way and I have a different way. Let me talk about credit reports. You have to obtain, if you're talking about rebuilding your credit, and this is one of the more practical pieces, but if you're talking about rebuilding your credit, you have to obtain all three of your credit reports to make sure that you can actually see where you're at. One of the most discouraging things that you can do when it comes to building or comes to rebuilding a house is not paying attention to the details, right? So if you're not paying attention to the details, you got to know that that can cause some death and some destruction to the thing that you're trying to rebuild. Look, regardless of what anybody want to say, and I'm being so real with y'all, especially super-minded, super-spiritual people, these reports from Experian, from TransUnion, from Equifax, they, regardless of what you want to say, they are still going to always be an outward reflection of your character to the world. Believers, listen to what I'm telling you. Your credit reports, your credit scores are always going to be an outward reflection of your character to the world. So since the world that we live in has this measuring tool, if you will, credit reports, creditors, utility companies, insurance companies, nonprofit organizations, employers, places where you want to volunteer, these people make partial assessments of who? You. So we can't dismiss during this rebuilding process, during this rebuilding phase of dealing with our credit, we can't dismiss how important and how valuable that is. You would be surprised how many people that I've seen on a job on Monday morning or Sunday afternoon talk so much stuff about God this, and God that, and how great church was, and how well the pastor preached. And my church did this, and my church. And then I look in that people's credit report on Monday morning, and I'm like, okay, everybody don't know what I know, but what if they did? What if it was known to the outside world, not to just the people who you're applying for credit? But what if when you walked into church, the pastor one day starts calling folk out? We got 80% of the people in this congregation. God had the Spirit of God revealed to me that 80% of the people in this congregation of 1,000 folks have credit scores of less than 500. That would be bad to some people. But then you would also have that 20% that may not take the whole context of what's being said, because more may have come after that that may be a good thing about, okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to get PRF in here, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to deal with this. But somebody in that 20% may say, let me go and talk to the outside world and just tell folk that 80% of the people in that church got jacked up credit. Again, it goes back to what I said before. What about your witness? So let me throw this out here. Can you imagine doing a final walkthrough of this particular structure, talking about a physical building, a house, the house that you rebuilt, and then you realize after doing your final walkthrough, like, okay, man, it's done now. I can get that mechanics lien taken off. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And then instead of finding that the bedroom door opened outward, it opened inward. How would you feel? I want to believe that, for one, is not going to make you happy. I want to believe that you will probably feel some type of way at the builder. Well, with your credit, who's the builder? You. If you don't make sure that there's nothing there that shouldn't be there on your credit report, it's your fault. What if that $600 debt that you thought you was going to pay off in 6 months at $100 a month was actually a $900 debt? Because, see, you didn't check your credit report. You didn't get with the creditor. You just knew 2 years ago I owed $600 on this debt. But if you would have got your credit report as you were counting the costs, you would have been able to see that the late fees, collection fees got added to that, and now that $600 debt is a $900 debt. I can only imagine that your plan to pay off this debt in 6 months at $100 a month, now you would be discouraged. I can only imagine how discouraged that you would actually feel at the 6 month, thinking, man, I would have accomplished that goal, but you can't do it now because you can't pay the other $300 over 6 months. So why not apply that same type of concept, if you will, to your life when it comes to rebuilding credit? Find out what's there before you start building. Don't just run out there. Things that you need ahead of time. If you get the things that you need ahead of time, then you can have a very good picture of what's going on. You can map out a game plan. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to find and deal with some of the basic principles of what it means to rebuild. I got one more thing for y'all tonight, and I think this is going to wrap up tonight's show because we got a lot more to talk about in this particular subject. Can we call this one advice? Don't build upon a sinkhole. Again, the inference, think about what I just said about credit reports. But the inference here is for you to determine if there's anything that is outstanding. Ask yourself this. Take what I'm about to say as a spiritual discipline, if you will. Is there anything out there that's outstanding with your creditors that God would have you to direct or address? Is there anything outstanding that in the Word of God it says you need to go ahead and get this straight with your brother and your sister first before you come talking about here go all these big old offerings and tithes and all of it? Is there anything that God would have? Is there anything in his written word that can actually say, okay, here's what we need to do to kind of resolve this and get this rebuilding going in the right direction. And I'm saying that to say this. Remember, this that we're talking about tonight and what we're going to be talking about next week is about reestablishing yourself. Remember what I said about the character. And as you're doing this rebuilding, it's your reputation among God. It is your reputation among your brothers and your sisters. It's your reputation among those creditors that you didn't pay. All of that is on the line. So this may be one of those instances where your accountability partner is going to be very, very useful to you. If you're willing to open up to him, if you're willing to open up to her, then what you're doing is you're developing skills needed to deal with the shame. You're developing skills needed to deal with the guilt, to deal with the embarrassment, to deal with all those things that's inside of you that a whole bunch of other folks don't know about. Things that may have existed from so not so favorable circumstances. And I'm going to tell you, when you start dealing with the shame, when you start dealing with the guilt, when you start dealing with the embarrassment, when folks think that you got it all together because you drive this and you drive that, you could drive a Mercedes with a 400 credit score because your credit may have been good when you brought it, but you could have got laid off. But never had the common sense to say, you know what, before this gets too bad, let me go ahead and sell it. So you may have kept it and struggled. Or that house. House is too much. You got it. Credit's not working so well because you wasn't able to keep up the payments. So before it got too bad, you refinanced. And you put more debt on top of debt. What else regarding your credit do you not want to build on? One of the things that I'm going to say, and these are the last two things that I have, and if anybody has any comments, press on your dial pad and we'll catch it before we sign off tonight. But I'm telling you, one thing that you don't want to build upon is shortcuts. Let's just be practical. If you took shortcuts in the past when you were building your credit and it didn't work and now you know that you have to rebuild your credit and you understand that the shortcuts that you took was what contributes to why you're in this place of rebuilding right now, you can't build on that, my brothers and my sisters. The closest way or the easiest way to get between two points is a straight line. So think about what I said about your honesty, your honor. Think about what I said about your character as we've been dealing with those two terms with our credit and debt as we've been talking about over the last couple of months. Think of what we've been talking about with your reputation. You got to rebuild those things, and you got to make sure those things are getting back in line. So if you stay the straight and narrow, the Bible does talk about the road is narrow. Everybody doesn't want to go the narrow road. Some folks just want their credit fixed just like that. So then here they go to some of these places that are not really with your best interest in heart. That's going to do nothing but have you rebuilding again. So why not do it right the first time? Think about your house. Think about your car. When you buy a car, you're expecting, you have an expectation that when that car comes off the line that there's been check after check after check after check. That there's been crash dummy, been time after time after time after time after time again. That the airbags work. You want to make sure that when that car was built, they've done everything that they wanted to do, not just to make the doggone thing look good, but that it's safe for you. When you build that house or get that house built or just move into a house, you have an expectation that the person who is responsible for the wiring did what the heck they were supposed to have done. That the person who was responsible for checking the person who did the wiring did what they were supposed to have done. That the person who was responsible for checking behind the person did what they were supposed to do before they finally sign off on it. If you have those type of expectations when it comes to building the physical things that we all have to deal with, shelter and transportation, if that's what you actually have as an expectation in your particular life, then my brothers and my sisters, why in the world will we not want to have that same type of mindset? Why will we not want to have that same type of attitude? Why will we not want to have that same type of spirit flowing through us? That I got to do this thing the right way. I can't take no shortcuts. No, you can. I know that you may want to pay me such and such, or you want me to pay you such and such $250 so you can go ahead and quote unquote clean up my credit. Joker, you ain't learned nothing though. Because the reality is, that's not the right way. The reality is, if there's some cleaning up on your credit, you need to be able to understand. Tell, if you go that route, tell me what's the lesson that you learned. What lesson did you learn if you go that route? That's all. That's what I want to know. And then I'm going to say, now what lesson can you tell the next person so that they don't end in the same situation that you did? Because the only thing that you can tell them 9 out of 10 times when you go that particular route is pay somebody to fix it for you. And that has God where? I don't hear God in that situation. You may have it, but I don't. I thought about fault lines. And if I was writing this out, it would be fault, F-A-U-L-T, lies, L-I-E-S. It's not a misspelling, but it's just to give you like an analogy, if you will, of a fault line. And we went and watched a movie called San Andreas last weekend in the San Andreas Valley in California. And it's supposed to be like the largest fault line in the world. And what happened was when whatever was going on underneath the earth, everything that was above it just tore down. So we're talking about it created earthquakes, it created tsunamis, it had buildings that were falling down. You had people people that were experiencing not being able to find their loved ones. You had all that going on. People falling off bridges, collapsing. All that stuff was bad because of fault lines. So what I'm saying is this. You don't want to reestablish yourself with the mindset that it's somebody else's fault. Whatever has gone on with your credit that needs to be reestablished, don't do the blame game. Regardless if that person or if those individuals had something to do with it and that's your perception or that's your reality, you don't want to just take that negative spirit into the new thing that you're going to believe God to do in your life. So if you're believing God to help you rebuild your credit, you can't, I'm saying you can't. I don't find it wise to on one hand say, Lord, I'm trusting you to rebuild my credit. But then every time somebody asks you something and you start talking about it, man, them people, they laid me off. If that never was laid off, they didn't lay me off. If they didn't fire me, then I wouldn't be in this situation. Well, that's only part of the story. Because just because people are not working doesn't mean that they have bad credit. And so we can't use that one. But you don't want to rebuild it on this notion, this premise that it was somebody else's fault. Because if something happens and the building gets tore down a little bit, there needs to be another roof put on. You don't want to do that part again. You don't want to put a new roof on the house saying that it's somebody else's fault. It can't be nobody's fault. Just do what you got to do to make it work in this new thing that God is doing. And this thing about the lies, yes, I said lies, not lines. Right? Whatever lies the enemy tells you, And please listen to me. Whatever he's trying to tell you, whatever he has told you, or whatever that thing has told you to discourage you from believing that you can't rebuild, well, I don't have any extra money, so I can't rebuild. Why can't you just, the devil is a lie? Tell him, tell that thing to go back to hell where it belongs and leave you alone. Put God on him. Put the word of God on him. Look, Joe, because you already know where your end is. So if Jesus come back, you know you already messed up. So just go ahead and leave me alone. Find somebody else that don't believe in this powerful almighty God that put you out of the heavens. My brothers and my sisters, I'm telling you, you got to make this thing work for you. God's plan for you to rebuild, right? If it's his plan, if it's the right time, choose to believe that versus the enemy. Especially when challenges arise during the rebuilding process. Oh my goodness, that is so important. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a building project, whether it was a house, whether it was an addition to a house. I don't know if you've ever put furniture together. Sometimes challenges come up where you don't know where to put the piece at. Sometimes challenges come up where you thought you had all the permits for the house, for the electrical wiring, and you thought you had them, and they said that you were good, and you never picked them up because they said that they were good, and then here comes an inspector saying, okay, I need to see your permit, and you don't have it. Those things are going to happen. I don't know too many people who have built something and it's always right the first time. Even us as individuals, we're constantly growing every day. So take God's grace. There's going to be some things happen, but know that God has that thing in control. Take God's grace. Okay, God, calm me down, because right now I really wanted to be in the house by next week because they said it was going to be done by Friday. I took some time off of work so I can move in this weekend. But now I can't move in because they didn't sign off on the final piece of documentation that they need to say that the house is inhabitable. You're going to have to let God in on that situation. He already knows what's going on, but maybe he's preventing something from happening. Maybe it's a good reason why there's a delay. Maybe there's a good reason why there's a little bit of challenge in this situation. You have to be willing to put God at the forefront in this whole situation. My brothers and my sisters, I have enjoyed talking with you tonight, but I think we're going to go ahead and shut it down for the evening. Join us next week here on the PRF table so we can go ahead and really talk a little bit more about rebuilding credit God's way. Remember that all of our episodes for the PRF table, they're on demand. You can catch them anytime after every show airs on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. Also, please go to the Facebook page, the PRF Teaching Ministry. You go there, you'll be able to see some of the things that we're talking about. You'll always be informed about what the next show is so that you can go ahead and ask your questions up front, post to the Facebook page, reach out to us as this PRF Teaching Ministry. For those of you who are constantly there with us, we want to thank you for our faithful listeners who are constantly there. The many of you who are here with us every single Thursday at 8 p.m., trust me, we do not take it lightly that you take the time out of your schedule to be with us here on the PRF table. So with that, on behalf of myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, Tara Sherwood, Adia Sanders, Mary Ann Williams, a.k.a. Mama, and Warren Feaster, we make up the PRF table team. We see you next week. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. I love you.